Welcome to Radio Survivor. We're here for the love of radio and sound. My name is Jennifer Waits.
Hi, I'm Paul Riesmandel.
I'm Eric Klein.
And today on the show, we're excited to be talking to two of the artists behind a forthcoming audio production, The New Adventures of Super Indian. This multi-part serial is a project of Native Voices at the Autry in Los Angeles. Our guests include Super Indian's creator, playwright, and co-director, Aragon Starr, who is also an enrolled member of the Kickapoo tribe of Oklahoma, as well as artistic director, Delana Studi, who is an enrolled citizen of the Cherokee Nation. Thanks so much to both of you for joining us on Radio Survivor today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wado.
So we're super excited. This crosses over into many areas of interest for Radio Survivor. And I wanted to start just by the most basic of questions for you, Aragon. Who is Super Indian?
Super Indian is a reservation boy who ate tainted commodity cheese and gained superpowers.
Wow. That's, and how did you come up with that whole idea? That is fascinating. I love, you know, we're talking about it as a radio serial, but it's gone through all these different forms. It sounds like it maybe started out as an idea in your head and then went to radio and then became a comic and now is radio or audio again. How did that all happen?
Jennifer, it is all those things all at one time in the multiverse. And it started as a crazy idea with another, with a fellow playwright and I. We were at a theater retreat in Brisbane, Australia, of all places. And he and I and the first directors, artistic director and executive director of Native Voices at the Autry were on this train going to the beach from Brisbane, the main city. And we just started talking about crazy stuff, and I was like bouncing ideas here and there and whatnot. And then I said it would be great to have a Native superhero, because the Native superheroes that were on the market, you know, back in 2006, 2007, were never drawn by us, were never written by Native people, certainly never published, and they were chock full of stereotypes and just every misconception that you could, you know, and tropes there. I mean, there are Native tropes that we all know about, the shaman and the expert tracker and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, that's not who we are. At least if there was a Native superhero that was going to be in my universe, that's not who I wanted to like hang out with. I mean, I would have more fun hanging out with Deadpool or something, you know, but this, I thought, why don't we have that? And so I kept that idea in my back pocket. And at that, the next thing that happened, which is pretty amazing, is that Native Voices got a grant to work with the Native Radio Theater Project. And this blossomed into a, hey, why don't you write a 10-minute version of that Super Indian idea, and we'll put it on at the National Audio Theater Festival in West Plains, Missouri. And I was like, oh, okay. Now, when I was a kid, not only did I read comics, I also wrote little scripts that I used to record on my cassette recorder. So I knew that all of these things were possible. And to see something like, you know, crazy idea fully realized, you know, with not just me doing all the voices, but, you know, an actual director, a cast, live sound effects and live music. It was like, it was wonderful.
That's amazing. So that was produced in around 2006. So tell us a bit about what that production was like.
The 2006 production was crazy because there were, I can't remember how many of us, but at least like 20 Native radio and theater artists that went to West Plains, and we all hung out together. We just created together. There were two other plays that were actually produced as part of the broadcast of the National Audio Theater Festival. So it was fun to be an actor and then run around and like, how does this need to be cut? It's got to run 10 minutes. I've got to cut, but, you know, keep the gist of the story going. So the thought was always for me, I always hearken back to the stuff I read when I was a kid, which of course was Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Fantastic Four, and X-Men. And I really wanted to have this be a young man who just, you know, by chance suddenly gets superpowers. And that, and I had to build in his arch nemesis, which is a character named Wampum Bags, who gets hold of a mystical wampum belt and suddenly is, you know, it's like, I will teach you how to be Indian. Because again, that is another trope that you see in the comics about, you know, there's always this white guy that like is more Indian than everybody else. So, so I thought, let's put this guy near. And it was fun. And it was at that theater festival, it really was funny. People laughed. And I know that Delaina will tell you this. It's really hard to get people to laugh at Indians or laugh with our humor. But that's something that is like so deeply ingrained in who we are that, you know, it's like I personally can't help but sharing that because I, you know, my parents were cut ups. I grew up with a bunch of cut ups and we were never taking things seriously. And when the mood gets low, it's like, you know, go high with humor always. So it was a wonderful experience working with the actors, working with the radio professionals. And through that experience, it was determined that, okay, let's make Super Indian into a series. And it just, oh my gosh. So some of the people, the professional people from West Plains, including Sue Zizza and David Shin and William DeFree came to Los Angeles. And so Native Voices said, okay, now, arrogant star, we want you to write 10 episodes. Ha ha, you know, boom, just like that. So that took on a whole other like, okay, wait, so what is this guy going to do? And what stories do I want to tell? And that's how it led to a full production at the Wells Fargo Theater in Los Angeles with dozens of actors. And again, the same setup, live audience, live sound effects, live music, the actors coming up and reading their lines, and then it was recorded and then later edited for a broadcast across the country, thanks to Native Voice One, which is a radio distributor.
That's absolutely incredible. And now I know that after that, it became a comic book. And there's a lot to the story before we bring Delaina in to talk about what's happening now. But maybe talk briefly about the comic and then we'll fast forward to how it's coming back to audio.
Okay. So after that wonderful production we did at the Autry, the show came out. It was very successful. And there was actually 6 other episodes that were written for the, you know, for broadcast. However, you know, budgets, things, it didn't happen. And I was heartbroken, but I thought to myself, okay, so what do you do when you get the lemons? What do you do? So I took those scripts and decided that I need to teach myself how to actually draw comics, how to produce a comic, and then how to get it out into the world. Now, I already had skills. I know how to draw, and I've been drawing since I was a child. And in fact, that was my way of getting out of corporate America because I could draw. And that is a whole subset story in itself because I used to work for Disney, but as a freelance artist doing their t-shirts and stuff for their stores. And those drawing skills enabled me to leave the corporate world and go freelance, do the music that I wanted to do because I'm also a musician, a singer-songwriter. And, you know, I have to just say, I love Portland. That was in Portland. I don't know if you're friends with the people at KBOO, but back in the day, KBOO was the first postcard that I got that said, "Hey, Aragon Star, we are playing your music here in Portland." I was like, "What?"
Wow!
I was shocked. As an indie, I couldn't even believe it because, again, this is my lot in life. I'm totally independent, and if I feel like I want to do something, I'm just going to find a way to do it. So I did the same thing with Super Indian. And I went to Comic-Cons. I went to San Diego Comic-Con. I talked to hundreds of people and went to hundreds of like those seminars that they have at the cons. And I said, how does this happen? How do you do this? I bought books. I talked to people. I drew and I drew and I drew. And it wasn't until 2011. That's how long it took me to actually put up the first comic online, because everybody at the con said, don't put out a book. You're going to waste your money. They're just going to stay in your garage. And, you know, why don't you just put it out on the web? Because that was a thing back then. A weekly web comic. So Super Indian started as a weekly web comic. And by 2012, I had enough material for a full graphic novel, 64 pages, four color. It was ready to rock. And then there was volume one, there was volume two. And from there, I got other comic work. That thing has taken on a life of its own. It's taught in colleges and universities across the country. It, you know, people, like kids love it. Adults love it. Grandmas, grandpas, you know, they love that stuff.
And so now there are a lot of people who are fans of Super Indian who probably they might be learning about this production that we're going to talk about, The New Adventures of Super Indian, and they may think that it started as a comic, not as a radio serial. So now I'd love to talk to you, Delaina, about, as artistic director for The New Adventures of Super Indian, what was this process like and the decision to bring it to make it an audio serial again?
Honestly, it was we were pivoting from COVID. We knew we wouldn't be able to be in a theater space. And we also knew people needed a nice way to escape. And the best way to do that is through humor. And I always feel like, especially for Native people, it's our humor that has allowed us to survive. And when people think of Native people, they don't think of humor. And of course, when I think of humor, I think of Aragon Starr. And so I was secretly courting Aragon way back last summer. She had no idea I was really wanting to do Super Indian for our spring production. But I would call and be like, so Aragon, how's episode 3 coming? Do you have any new pages? What's going on? And so we didn't make the real offer, I think, until January.
But yeah.
But for a while, I was just checking in to see how it was. But I knew that Super Indian was something I wanted to do. It has a special place in my heart. I got to do the radio show when I was at the Autry back in 2007, and I loved it. It was so much fun. And it was something that was intergenerational. And I really wanted to have that moment, especially now with COVID. And what I discovered through the course of what's happening is we had a short play festival back in November. And during the short play festival, we did it through Zoom. We did it through the virtual realm. And it was through this realm that we were able to have access to people we never had access to before. A lot of the tribes are helping people with stipends towards the internet. And my tribe is one of them. In fact, my parents in Oklahoma did not have internet until this happened. And so all of a sudden, a lot of our Native communities had internet and they could hear and see. They had access that they didn't have before. And for a lot of our playwrights, it was the first time that their family members got to see their work, which was huge. And then my favorite thing is we left the chat on. And during the Zoom chat, it would be someone would be typing, like, I'm typing this for my grandma. She says this. And then someone else would respond, I'm typing for my grandpa. He says, yeah, that reminds him of this. And just to see the intergenerational dialogue that was happening in order to make the grandmas and grandpas accessible to Zoom was so inspiring. I realized our spring production had to be something that was for every community and every generation. And so it had to be Super Indian. Of course, I wanted that anyway, but I thought it would be a lot of fun, and I feel like we need to laugh. I feel like we all need some lightheartedness in our life right now.
So Native Voices, can you maybe talk a little bit about Native Voices and what that theater company is?
So Native Voices at the Autry has been around since 1994. It was founded by Randy Reinholz and Jean Bruce Scott. In fact, I became artistic director last year. I had 2 weeks before we went into shutdown, so I've only been in the office for 2 weeks. The rest of the time I've been working remotely. But Native Voices is the only equity theater devoted to developing and producing plays written by Native Americans, American Indians, First Nations, Alaska Natives, and Native Hawaiians. And so right now we're the only. I think we're technically the first, but we're really tired of being the only. It's 2021. We should not be the only. And so we're trying to find ways to not be the only. But we do have a lot of followers because of that. And we do have a lot of leeway that other theaters don't have. And so this is a big step for us. And so this is what we're doing. We pivoted. Usually we develop about 3 new plays a year. During COVID, we developed 4. For 2021, we're going to be developing 7. And so it's given us this luxury of being able to really promote our playwrights. And because people can now access Native playwrights through the web, a lot of our playwrights are getting commissions that would never have been there before.
That's amazing. And so for this production, for the New Adventures of Super Indian, will that be a live? Will they be live performances or recorded performances? How is that going to be different from what you might have done in the past?
So they will be recorded performances, which has been a big step for us because usually in theater, you don't have post-production. Taking down the set is your post-production. But in this case, we recorded everything in 2 weeks. We had 16 different actors from 4 different time zones. Our sound director was in the UK, so there's a 5th time zone thrown in to good measure. And we were able to do all 3 episodes in 2 weeks. And now we're in the process of doing post-production. And so it'll stream online, which is what we wanted. And so that way people can listen to it at their convenience.
And Aragon, I'm curious, because I know comedy is really important. You both have been talking about that. And when you did the radio productions in the past, maybe with an audience, I know audience can be important for comedy. How did it feel this time? I'm assuming there was no audience when you were recording. So what was that like?
It was a little strange. I mean, you could see all of the actors laughing on Zoom, which was funny because they did. But, it was like, oh, shh, quiet, and I missed that immediacy of somebody like, oh, I get that. Ah, that's great. But the thing about the live audience and the recording and the stuff that, was like, the episodes of the original show were only 5 minutes long. So there was a lot of ground to cover in 5 minutes. And it was hard to set up a 1, 2, 3 laugh joke because there was not enough time to hold for the laughter. And there was a lot of laughter. So there was a lot of editing to work, to work on that because it's like, oh, wait, it's got to be under 4 minute 48 because of the little tags that have to go in each episode, and the funny thing about that first recording that was always like, and I told Delana this, I said, it would have worked better if we'd just done it as an hour program without all of the thought of like, no, what we're going to do is we're going to have 5 minute episodes and they're going to run at the top of the hour on each of these native stations or the bottom of the hour, as little interstitials like back in the day of the Tooth Fairy. And I know that's in the way back Michigan. They may never have run Tooth Fairy in wherever you might live, but it was something.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about it.
Oh my God. Okay. This was craziness that ran. They were 5 minute episodes. I heard them in San Diego, California. And it was just craziness of this guy. It was a man who was the Tooth Fairy and how, just crazy episodes that was like, oh, that is so weird. Because it seemed back in the day, and when I was growing up, because look at the hair, the gray hair. I used to always hear National Lampoon. And Dr. Demento and stuff like that. So those things really grounded me in like radio can be really funny and can be really, really weird. And I wore out all of those National Lampoon albums. I still have them. That's what I was aiming for when I was writing my little scripts and recording them on cassettes. That Monty Python.
That's great. Yeah, I love that. Delana, you said you had worked on the first radio production. How was this one different? How is this audio production that's coming up, The New Adventures of Super Indian? What sorts of new creative challenges did it have this time around?
Well, we finally got to do what Aragon wanted, which was turn those 5 minute episodes into hour long episodes. So we really got to invest in the characters and see the character arcs and get to know them as people. And honestly, it was a very surreal experience because we're doing it via Zoom. We're recording through another I think it was through Audacity.
Yeah.
And so we have so many different technical things that are happening at the same time. And I think my favorite part for this one, because we're usually, like the last time we did it, we were all on stage together and the Foley artists were right next to us. And I remember the first couple of rehearsals, we had to stop looking at them because we'd be like, what? That's how they make that sound? And we get so distracted. So this case, we don't have to worry about that, but we weren't in the same room. And so a lot of our actors had to make their makeshift studios. So you could see them covered with blankets and sofa cushions, you name it, it was up there. And most of them were in very dimly lit spaces. And so that was our favorite thing, was seeing everyone in their own little cubbyhole and getting the pictures. But it was something that it was something to see and something to do, but it was, I mean, I hope we get to repeat it, but honestly, I don't think this would have happened if it was in the post-COVID world, because we had so many different actors from so many different areas. Geography was no longer an issue, and we had some of the best sound designers you could possibly wish for.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Foley. I'm fascinated by Foley in radio drama, so I'm curious how you did the Foley this time around when it was all done remotely. Did you stick to the old school Foley artist, you know, doing all the creative things with sound, or did you do more sound design and
You mean doing it sort of live with actual sort of implements and sound making devices, or was it a bit more electronic?
Yeah, or both.
It was more electronic this time around, but Eric can talk about that. But she did also create three new songs for this, for our episodes of Super Indian.
Yes. All of our sound effects are being done in the UK by the wonderful Thomas Maggs, who is the son of Dirk Maggs, who is famous for his radio productions in England for the BBC. And Dirk and I worked together on a radio version of my one-person show called The Red Road. And I've known Dirk for many, many years, and we have the same sensibility, and he's such a fun guy to be around. And I was hoping that he could come back for this, but he is busy working with Neil Gaiman and The Sandman.
Whatever.
I know. It's like, show that guy the hand, you know? But no, he and Neil Gaiman have been friends for as long as, you know, I've probably been friends with him. And, you know, he said, what about my son, Dirk? I mean, no, what about my son, Tom? You know, he can work with the old man, and, you know, and so that's how it, he's working with the old man, because, oh my gosh, Dirk Maggs has this sound catalog that you just can't even imagine. It's probably like 5,000 hard drives of all these, like, you know, I asked him for one and I said, do you have the sound of a tour bus pulling up to a diner? Oh yeah, he's got that. Oh yeah, he's got that. So, so Tom is utilizing all of those. We're doing some music library stuff, but Delana talked about the original songs, because one of the characters in episode 3, The War Bonnet, is a guy from France called DJ Deschet. And DJ Deschet is a techno artist in the mold of David Guetta. And... and he has a thing about this war bonnet, because anyway, it's the backstory, but his music had to be in the show because he comes to the Leaning Oak Reservation to do a concert, and he's got the lights and the sound and the turntable and the whole thing. And I said, wait, where am I going to get that song? I can't like steal. Can I ask David Guetta? And like, no, he wouldn't do it. So there are a couple of tracks where, you know, this music comes in and it's like, oh my gosh, you're at Coachella. I had so much fun making those tracks.
Maybe you've got a new career on your hands now.
Oh, it's harkening back to the old career, because, you know, I'm a singer-songwriter, yeah, and I've got CDs. So it's just, you know, I've been meaning to make a techno album for a long time. So this is my testing the waters.
Your EDM.
I would like to hear more about working with sound to make radio drama. Tell me a story about how a specific sound... you know, brought a scene to life.
Well, this is the thing, Eric. They're still being edited. We have only, Delana and us, have only heard the first episode. Mm-hmm. And it was a rough cut. It sounded brilliant. There were some sound effects in there. But he's still editing and putting it together. Okay. So we're waiting to hear what he's going to do. In fact, his email today said, okay, so for episode two, it's going to be very FX heavy for this, you know, flashback scene. And I can't wait. I'm like, I'm excited because the character in episode two is named Blood Quantum. And that is how you think it's supposed to be. But Blood Quantum wants to become a full blood Indian by biting other full bloods. He's working off an Aztec shaman's curse. Okay, he's got debts to pay. He tried to steal. He's trying to take gold, and he's got to work it off somehow. So, but the backstory is like how he came. You know, how did he come to be a vampire, and you know, how did he come to hate native people so much?
Wow,
I can't wait.
I know. I can't. I love that we're getting the behind the scenes as you're still producing it. So remind us, Delaina, how it's going to play out. I know the first episode releases April 14th. So how many episodes, how long is each episode?
We're doing it three episodes. We're going to release one every week. So April 14th. And then the week after that's 21st. And then the 28th, they will be up and running for a while. And once again, they'll be streaming. So you can access it anytime you want. We're hoping that there'll be about an hour, right now. I don't even know if we have exact times yet. We're still, because of all of the sound effects, it's going to add some time or take away some time. So we're waiting to see. But they're roughly going to be about an hour to an hour and a half.
It's exciting, as you mentioned, that the audience, you know, suddenly you can have an extremely broad audience for these performances. And that must be so exciting, so thrilling for you that you can reach people from all over the world.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, as a native girl growing up in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, I so wanted to have a superhero that looked like me and that sounded like me or looked like someone I knew. And it's taken all these years and Aragorn's finally given us one. And so I'm so excited that our native youth are going to get to grow up with Super Indian.
And have you thought about or will you be making this available to radio stations that might want it? I know that the first series was conceived specifically for radio and this now, you know, is conceived to be streamed online, but many community stations and college stations still particularly actually have radio drama shows, you know, dedicate an hour weekly or on some regular basis to it.
That's a good question. And that would actually be a very good use of the program. Well, it's something to explore. I know there's rules and things and such and unions and whatnot.
Right. Equity actors. I understand. Yes. Right.
Actually, this is Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time. New media.
Wow. Ooh. Right. Because you're online. I realize that's been one of the things that kind of became an early, I don't know if to say controversy, but something for people to consider, right, in at the beginning of COVID when theater productions would go online, and sometimes they would just be in video, if not in audio. Right, then now you've got a whole nother situation with working out with the unions. How does everybody, making sure everyone's getting what they deserve.
It's a whole other show of Radio Survivor with a lawyer.
And of course, different unions also want to make sure they're getting what, you know, which unions in control. So I now realize I've opened up a can of worms. I will now put the lid back on that can of worms here of who's got equity and who needs to help make sure this could be on the radio. It just seemed to me like it would be such a sort of wonderful kind of opportunity. And I think that often you know, community and college radio shows that feature radio drama are always looking for fresh ideas and to hear from some fresh voices.
Absolutely. And you know, what we discovered during this time is that access is the most hoarded luxury. And for the first time, a lot of our native communities have access, and we want to keep that access and keep the stories going and get these stories out to the communities that they were written for. So we're really hoping that some aspect of this will continue on even once we can rejoin in public.
And when you release the episodes, Delaina, you mentioned that with some other productions that have been going on with Native Voices at the Autry, you've done things over Zoom where people have the opportunity to chime in with comments and questions. Will that be the case with the new adventures of Super Indian?
We're going to be creating a slideshow for the beginning of the new adventures of Super Indian. So you can get familiar with the cast, who they are in real life. And of course the characters that they're going to be playing. And we also have a glossary of terms because we are there's some Res talk happening. You want people to be able to follow along, even if they're not from a reservation. But basically, it's going to be just a normal audio show with all the bells and whistles. And we want you to use your imagination and picture what these characters will be like. You know, back in the day, people would go see Shakespeare and they would say, I'm going to go hear a play, not necessarily see the play. And so we want you to be able to hear the story. And the great thing about it, like I said, is it will stream, so you can watch it anytime. You can watch it while you're doing the dishes, on your hard drive, et cetera. And so we're very excited about that as well.
And I'm curious about the actors. Were they all familiar with doing audio drama? Or did you have folks? Because I know this has been a really interesting, difficult, challenging time for theater and for actors. And some folks are obviously seasoned audio performers and others maybe less familiar. So I'm curious about the crew that you had.
Not to mention that they're all working remotely. So they might be seasoned, but have they engineered their own recording session before?
Right. Well, and it's totally different than being on a stage with your fellow collaborators. So yeah, some tales from that whole aspect would be interesting to hear.
Well, we had a variety. We had some people that were seasoned professionals that have done voiceovers for all their careers. And then we had some people that were just starting out. And Native Voices, we did call around and see what equipment they had. Could they make a space? And for the actors that didn't have the equipment, we bought it for them and sent it to them. And they got to keep it after the recording. Because we really do hope that our Native actors continue to do this kind of work. And so that was one of the, I think that's one of my highlights of working on Super Indian, is we are able to give people the tools they need to succeed after. And, but you will see, I mean, you won't see, but you'll hear, we tried our best to get the sound evenly, because you know, when you're filming in different locations or recording in different locations, everyone has a different sound. So some people had to go back and redo it. I'm sure Aragon has tons of stories.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't just like, oh, you have to, I had to redo, and here I am, and I think I know what I'm doing, but oh, no. I had to go back and recut all of my lines, but that was okay, because we had had the Zoom experience, and we kind of knew the script by then, so it was actually kind of easy to just like, let me just put it on record, and then I'm just going to run my line.
Since this is Radio Survivor, can I ask you what went wrong with the first recording? What was the issue that needed to be re-recorded?
Well, I got to tell you, look at my room here. I didn't have enough sound support, so I still sounded, there's too much reverb on what I sent in. Okay. It wasn't dead enough, because, you know, in post, they're going to add stuff, but it all needed to kind of sound like it was done at the same place.
Yeah.
And so there were a lot of challenges with all of the actors that, you know, it's like, okay, your room is too live, and you got to deaden it, or, you know, you sound like you're in a box.
If we weren't a show about sound and about getting specifically nerdy about radio production, I never would have asked that question. But so you needed to deaden your room a little bit.
I was under the blanket. Oh, okay. Yes.
That was the question, is did you...
Yes, the blanket had to go over. I had some other microphone booms. Oh, yeah.
Professional.
Yeah. And so what's it like acting under a blanket?
It's weird, because I just had like a cutout there for my mouth to like be next to the mic. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, no, too many plosives. Oh, I'm popping the B's and P's. Yeah. Oh, my God.
We're glad on Radio Survivor that you were in your room. Like a normal person, not...
Yeah.
No blankets were harmed in today's production of Radio Survivor. And so the primary recording then, it sounds like it was synchronous. Is that right? Because I know, you know, in some other types of voiceover work, often it's asynchronous. Everyone kind of records their parts. Sometimes they hear other people, sometimes they don't. But you did this as live, even though you had to do... some later syncs, like almost like you would have to do within a film, right? When you do ADR, additional dialogue.
Yes. Yes, that is correct. And, you know, I think the Zoom format actually kind of worked well, because you could hear what the other actors are doing and either try to match them or bring it down and, you know, to work, you know, as live as you can and in the moment as you can. And in that process, we found a lot of great stuff, because as a co-director, I was able to like, okay, wait, stop. That's perfect. But try it like this. You know, one of the characters, gosh, Janine Washington, she's so awesome. She's Yuchi and Seminole, which are close to my mom's Creek tribe. And she speaks Creek. So I was actually, there's a character that's a Creek doctor, like a physicist or scientist. And I wrote her Creek lines and she was able to, you know, just like that, deliver them. But there was this other character that was an older woman that was a friend of my character, Grandma Logan, whose sidekick is Grandma Snowball. And they are both like bingo buddies. And I was like, okay, so Janine, I like what you're doing. I like how you're sounding kind of old there. And I said, but what if you dialed in Grandma Snowball has like a pack of parliaments every day? And it was beautiful. Oh my God. I die every time I hear her. Every time she would speak, I was like, okay, this is killing me. This is so awesome because there's always that one old lady that sounds like that. You know, it's like perfect. Oh,
well, this really sounds, I mean, it sounds like you really like you were directing a film, except really with all the focus on voice, because so much of the time it seems that a lot of radio drama is done pretty well live. Right. And certainly in theater, you rehearse and you would have that opportunity to do some of that, you know, some of that adjustment or getting the performances that you like. Whereas in film, there tends to be fewer rehearsals generally, and you tend to kind of jump in depending on really how much money you have for film and to pay the actors to hang out. Right. so this is sort of interesting to me. Was there any improvisation then as mm-hmm. time went on because the actors started to find their chemistry?
Yes. And I think the chemistry between the two actors that play Super Indian slash Hubert Logan, because that's his secret identity, and his best friend, General Bear slash Mega Bear. That's his superhero. They really built a nice camaraderie of like two Rez boys that are friends and have joked with each other since they were children. And it was really nice to be able to hear their journey from children to adults. You know, when do you get to hear that? Very often. So three episodes to explore, like, okay, so he has superpowers, but he doesn't. And okay, so how did they become a crime-fighting team? So it's fun stuff.
And honestly, it's an actor's dream. We had 16 actors, and I believe at one count, Aragon, we had 95 characters. Mm-hmm. So everyone... yes, exactly. So everyone got to try on so many different voices and different people. It was, I know as an audience member, I was having the best time of my life. But to be able to see all the actors make their transformations and be like, oh my gosh, that's the same person that did that voice? It was insane. But 16 actors, 95 characters.
And how often would you have 95 characters in a stage production? I imagine something like that has happened somewhere, but...
Unfortunately, not at Native Voices. We don't have that kind of budget.
Well, I mean, after a while, it's just a costume budget, right? I mean, because certainly I've seen theatrical productions where the same actor will even in large sort of Broadway style productions, mm-hmm. the same actor will play multiple roles if they can pull it off. But 16 by 95, you know, that's that's 5x, right? And more or less, that's five roles a person on average. Yeah, well, that's incredible.
And that's the fun of seeing. I've seen a few radio dramas where it's exactly what you're describing, Delana, where you could see the actor in all these wildly different roles. You know, a child, and then you know, much older person. So yeah, that's super fun and fascinating. So in this instance, we won't be able to see the actors. Is that right? We're just going to have an audio presentation.
Yes. Sadly, no. I wish you could have seen all of these people do their work. It was great.
Although I think we do have a really great blooper reel that we might release later of the actors in their spaces doing their parts, just because it's hilarious. Especially the Walla. The Walla was my favorite part. I don't think anyone could stay, have a straight face through the Walla. So the Walla is the background noise in certain things. And so, but yeah, watching the actors do zombie Walla was my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Can you describe that a little bit more to get us excited about it for when we get to hear it eventually?
Okay, so zombie Walla, yeah, there's zombies that come to the res too. So the byproduct of the vampire biting you for your full Indian blood is to become one of his subservient call center zombies. And at some point we had to have the sound of the whole tribe getting bit and being the kind of thing. And it was so much fun.
So it was all.
And then
16
they have to
people.
Call me to tell me my auto insurance, my auto
exactly.
It was care all plan of- is running out. Yeah.
Right. Yes, it's all about your warranty, sir.
So a Awala is a group of people yabbering in a production in an audio.
Yes,
we
doing
do that.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, A B C D E F G. Mmm.
Right. Watermelon cantaloupe. Watermelon cantaloupe.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Yeah, I hope you do release the blooper reel, because as you were describing these scenes, that's exactly what I was thinking in my mind, was that it would be fun after listening to the three episodes. It would be fun to see, because I'm always fascinated by behind the scenes aspect of radio drama in particular. So I think that would be cool. I hope you do that.
It's happening.
And you're releasing a streaming. So is it going to be out, it's sort of embedded on a website? Basically,
yes. So I have the little slideshow beforehand. I kind of connect it to whenever you go to the movie theater and you see the little trivia before the movie comes on. We'll have our little trivia before Super Indian comes on, and then hopefully we'll have we might have a blooper reel at the end. We'll see what happens.
And I'm curious, you know, and again, maybe this gets complicated because you are dealing with equity talent. But it could you release it as a podcast?
Quite possibly. I know we're in the process of doing that research right now, just to see what that would entail.
Because that's where a lot of the renewed interest in audio drama is now. Is, you know, and there's a fairly well developed sector now of very, you know, interesting and innovative audio drama happening in podcasts, right? And I think that there's probably a ready audience for this, but who, you know, are used to consuming their audio looking through Apple Podcasts, for instance. Like, that's their go-to, and it could potentially open up the audience even more is why I ask, and not only because I work in podcasting and this is a podcast.
Yes, we're hoping it'll go further.
And I'm curious, so when you normally do productions at the Autry in Los Angeles, what sort of theater are you presenting? Like, what size is the audience,
which,
and how is this different?
Which the listener should know is a museum.
It is a museum, yes.
The Autry is a museum, but you are a theater company.
We are a theater company housed in the Autry. And so just to put it in perspective, when the Autry is built in 1984, I believe, I could be wrong. I should know my Autry history, and I apologize. It was built to be a showcase for Gene Autry, the singing cowboy. And the theater was actually more of almost like a lecturing space where you could go in and talk about your books. And yes, we can pull down this little slide panel and you can do projections behind me. But there was no backstage. There's no sides. There's no dressing rooms. It's a very, it's like an auditorium. And so it holds about 290 something people, depending on what we do with the stage. Sometimes we have to take out the first two rows to construct our stage, just so we can have a little bit of backstage for our actors. So it's not exactly the best theater space, but we've made do with it. And it's actually, it's very clever how our designers work in that space. So usually we can get maybe 290 people. I know that for our short play festival, we had more people watch online than we could physically fit in the theater. And we're really hoping to continue that. But once again, putting 16 actors on that stage would probably have never happened.
Never.
But we are in the process of getting it. We're raising money to build a better theater. We're 90% there. So
I'm told by the internet that the Gene Autry, the Autry Museum was founded in 1988.
88. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, internet.
Yeah, it's amazing to think. You know, there have been so many challenges over the past year, but I continue to be inspired by all the creative ways that people are adapting, and that new audiences, you know, that we're creating new audiences for some of our work as well by, you know, transitioning to doing an audio production that can be heard worldwide. And so in this instance, The first episode is released on April 14th. And will people be able to listen to that for a while online?
Oh, yes. All the episodes will be up and running for at least 3 weeks, maybe longer.
And you're releasing them, you know, not as a binge, although if someone comes in later, you're releasing them week to week. Is that to still give it that kind of episodic feel and, you know, the sense of do you have cliffhangers?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's written in some respects with a harken back to the old radio serials where it's like, coming next week or stay tuned for. And I'm excited about that kind of format that, you know, we build the world, we serve up some leaning oak realness, and hopefully people will just gravitate back and say, I want to know what happens next.
And I'm wondering, Go ahead, Eric. I'm so sorry. I'm wondering if there's any, this is a really difficult question, but, you know, when you put on a piece of theater, the audience enters the room and enjoys the show together at the same time. It's a collective activity. That's sort of its power. Now you're making audio drama that's just out in the world. Have you done any work, or do you know what's going to happen to form community like in the audience? Like, I'm wondering, like, will people listen together, or will everybody you know, be inside of their earbuds experiencing this individually?
Ooh.
What we've discovered is they've been listening together as family groups, and we're really lucky with Super Indian because we created an educational curriculum. So we know that classes will be listening to it together and following along with the curriculum. And so that's very exciting for us. And we're specifically targeting, you know, tribal schools and colleges and universities that have a large Native population. So we do know some people will be listening to it together.
That's great. I hope that they do some work to make sure that the sound, the sound in the classroom is very good. Yeah, like the best possible, not just built-in laptop speakers, but like I want the audience to be able to experience it. I want them to hear it.
Delana, can you tell us more about the curriculum? Like, so what does it mean to create a curriculum around a radio play like Super Indian?
Well, there's a lot of history that goes into Super Indian. There's a lot of some Native jokes, but also if you're not familiar with Native history, some of the things that we reference you may not understand. And unfortunately, a lot of our Native history is not taught in schools. So it's up to us to make sure they have that information. And so our curriculum for Super Indian is actually, it was designed by our education team. I'm in love with it. It makes me so happy. But it talks about what is a superhero? What do they stand for? What do they fight for? And who are our modern day superheroes? Specifically, who are our modern day Super Indians? And so it encourages the children, the youth, to go out and find those people in their communities and talk about what they're doing to elevate their community and raise awareness about certain issues. And it reminds us that even though we don't have superpowers, we all have a way to impact our community.
So it gives teachers tools, I guess, and in questions to kind of help guide a student in inquiry, right? And using this as a touching off point to learn more, connecting through this, what is a fictional idea of a superhero, and then thinking like, well, what does that mean in our everyday lives? And hoping that encourages students to learn more about Native American history in various regards. I think people don't always think of that naturally. You know, I mean, it is true that cultural pieces in fiction is used as a way of understanding larger histories and larger cultures. But sometimes, at first blush, it's very easy to take them more at surface value, right? And I think it's interesting to me to hear that you were proactively from the beginning deciding to create curricula around it. Is that something you've done before? Is that something fresh for this project?
We started it last year with our last production called Lying with Badgers. And so it's something that before I came onto the Autry that I've always included with the shows that I do. And so it was something that was very important to me. Once again, it's, you know, I'm at that position now where I can give my younger self what I didn't receive. And I never had anyone coming to my school to tell me that my culture or my language was valid. And it really did impact me. And so I hope no Native child has to grow up that way. So this is my chance to give back to my community, because they've given me everything that I have now to get me to this level. And so our Native youth is a very strong component of our new Native Voices agenda. And I'm very happy to talk about all the things that we're going to be doing with the youth in the future. But yes, it was very important to me that we had the curricula. And also, it dispels a lot of stereotypes. One of the great things about Aragon's writing is she does tackle some very heavy issues within our community, like repatriation and appropriation. And she does it with humor and also with compassion. And so I feel people are more likely to hear the message behind the story if it's encased in humor and compassion.
A white vampire who seeks out the blood of full natives to...
Why, yes.
To appropriate their culture, question mark?
Like you do. Why, yes.
Well, and it's unflinching humor, but I mean, ultimately, it's very contemporary, right? It sounds, you know, although you're using a medium with a great deal of history, and that, again, is often thought to be, you know, basically outmoded, it sounds as though all of the humor and the sensibility you're using sounds very contemporary, and sounds like something which is truly that youth can identify with, right? That this is, it may be a medium that they may be less familiar with, but not the content is not stodgy, for lack of a better word.
Exactly. And Aragon's been really great about putting in all these little Easter eggs depending on what you usually follow. And so if you're a big baseball fan, you'll catch a few of those. If you like old movies, you'll catch a few of those. There's several songs, but she has built in all these little Easter eggs for everybody. So it's very fun to reread and to listen to the episodes, because I'll find I missed that one. And I'm like, oh, got it now. She's sneaky, the Aragon.
And I'm thinking about, you know, fans of the comic too. Is this all an entirely new story, or are there pieces of it that have a comic that is associated with parts of the story?
Yes. The episode 2, The Curse of Blood Quantum, is actually contained in Super Indian Volume 2. However, that story started as a 15-minute radio script that didn't get produced on the first round. So it's, you know, it was a radio script, and then it was in the comics, and now it's back to a full length extravaganza. And I can't be more thrilled.
It's also meta and self-reflective. I love that. And I'm also, so thinking back also to the audience, for the educational component of it, I know that it's important to, that you're reaching out specifically to Native youth, but I'm also curious about if you're reaching out to teachers and schools generally, because it seems like the whole message of it would be important for everybody to hear.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that we've always had to face at Native Voices, is people think Native plays are only for Native people. But a good story is universal. And the more specific you get in telling that story, the more universal it becomes. And Aragon has done a great job with Super Indian. So I think it's accessible by everybody. I think it's non-Native kids and non-Native adults. I think people will love it just as much as we do.
So how can people hear it?
You would want to go to www.autry.org. And then you would find Native Voices, and you could RSVP for your link. And then the day that these get released, you will receive your link. And then, of course, you can listen to it whenever you want. But you would RSVP through the autry.org.
And we'll also put some links in the show notes so that people can find more information about Super Indian in general, and, you know, take a look at some of the comics. And I'm not sure, can we also access some of the earlier radio dramas, Aragon?
Well, that's something I'm toying with at the moment. I do have the old recordings. I'm thinking about putting them on SoundCloud. Thinking about that. You know, just so you can hear what we did before, which was excellent. There was nothing wrong with what we did before. It's just it was too short.
We wanted more.
Well, now you're doing more.
Yes.
But I think it's really exciting because, you know, Paul, you were just talking moments ago about how radio drama is a, you know, is a very old art form in our country. You know, it comes before television, right? But and so in for some at some points in our history, like young people might not have ears for that, but these days, you know, kids are listening to a lot of stuff. But it's I thought it was really this particular radio drama was recorded in individual under individual blankets out in the world with everybody meeting live over a Zoom call, but recording themselves in their homes all across the country. And that sort of thing is it's very contemporary, right? That was not a possible art form.
No, no,
at right. Any moment in our history other than
no.
You know, in the
everybody
last
would have
years.
To be on a conference call or something, right?
Yeah,
so it's even exciting. Just 10 years ago. And my question, so for each of you, I'll start with you, Arrogant. Would you do it again?
Oh my gosh, in a heartbeat. If they wanted 6 more episodes, oh, I have those. You know, because I can always draw back to what I did in the comics. And then also the previous scripts that did not get done. You know, there's 6 episodes that, you know, just floating around that like, ooh, I want to bring that back. But, you know, there's groundwork to be laid. There's, you know, other things to be considered, but I would love to. I love this medium. I really love it so much because it brought me so much joy as a kid growing up. And I would hear the stories from my parents about how they would, you know, listen to the dramas, you know, The Shadow Knows and all of those. I grew up with that stuff. And to perpetuate this and, you know, to hearken back to the, well, they never would have done this before or this wasn't possible. But I always think back to myself, you know, natives have been storytellers forever. And if you think about, you know, okay, well, they didn't record our stuff, but, you know, we memorized it, told it to other people. And then comics have always been around because native people are the original comic book artists and storytellers, petroglyphs. What the heck are those? They're mm-hmm. comics. They're stories. So, exactly. You know, this is something that's just natural to us, like, you know, falling off a log.
How about you, Delana? I mean, I'm sure you're eager to get everybody back on the actual physical stage. Would you do a project like this again, this sort of remote radio play here?
Oh, absolutely. Because, like I said, it allows us access we didn't have before. It was amazing. We were able to work with Native actors in New York, which would not have been possible if we had been in real life because we don't have the budget to fly them in and house them and pay them to be on our stage. And also our audience, we were able to reach our grandmas and grandpas in remote areas that are definitely not going to be flying into Los Angeles to go to a staged reading. And so for us, it was a lot of fun. And I would really love to do this again. In fact, we would like to find ways to get other episodes of Super Indian out there. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a Native Voices production. We want Super Indian to be everywhere. It's to a point where Native theater and Native radio shows don't have to be only in those spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and audio is an incredibly accessible medium too, because even though it sounds like, you know, there's been effort to bring internet access to more and more homes in Native communities, it sure takes a lot less bandwidth than high-def video, too.
My thanks to our guests on today's episode of Raider Survivor. Aragon Starr is the playwright and co-director, and Delaney Studi is the artistic director. We were talking about their play, The New Adventures of Super Indian, which is being mounted as an audio drama at the Native Voices at the Autry Theater Group. It's a free show, and you can find out how to get your tickets by going to our website, radiosurvivor.com, and looking at today's show notes. Our email address is podcast@radiosurvivor.com. We're a podcast that you can subscribe to anywhere where you get your time-shifted radio. On behalf of Jennifer Wades, who produced this week's episode, and Paul Reese-Mendel, my name is Eric Klein. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.